2020 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, where 2 days before a potential government shutdown deadline, a late-night bipartisan vote in the U.S. Senate following one in the House keeps all government agencies funded into January, some of them a month past that. Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Because of bipartisan cooperation, we are keeping the government open without any poison pills or harmful cuts to vital programs.
President Biden reports progress in U.S.-Chinese relations after hours of talks with China's leader.
In their first face-to-face meeting in more than a year.
I welcome the positive steps we've taken today.
Positive steps, said President Biden, like an agreement to reopen military-to-military contact between the two nations.
So we're back to direct, open, clear, direct communications on a direct basis.
President Biden says President Xi also agreed to restart cooperation on counter-narcotics to help stem the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. Lindy Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
After his meetings with President Biden, the Chinese leader met with business leaders in San Francisco, saying China does not seek spheres of influence and will not fight a cold or hot war with any country. In China, at least 25 people have died in a fire in a coal company building. Near Democratic Party headquarters in Washington, there was an evening demonstration for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war.
The U.S. right now is claiming that this is about Jewish safety, but actually, this is the same disastrous foreign policy response that led to the devastating, catastrophic war in Iraq.
She's actually with a Jewish group urging the ceasefire, but the protest did not go smoothly. There were confrontations with police who report 6 minor injuries and 1 protester arrest. Now to East Jerusalem. Correspondent Deborah Pata watching developments in Gaza, where Israeli troops have gone into that hospital they claim is being used by the Hamas terrorist group.
Medical staff have moved patients to safer areas. Areas through dust and smoke-filled corridors. Here, you see a doctor manually trying to give this little girl oxygen. The IDF says they dropped off desperately needed medical supplies before the raid.
Still smoking? Well,
today is the Great American Smokeout. Thomas Ilioya, a tobacco expert at National Jewish Health, says quitting smoking is the most important thing you can do for your health.
We know that it causes many forms of cancer, heart disease, lung diseases. It even impacts things like diabetes and bone health.
The American Cancer Society holds the Smokeout every year on the third Thursday of November, encouraging smokers to stop using tobacco products for at least 24 hours. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Dow futures down 11. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 35. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Delighted to have you along with us. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin on the board. Our colleague and producer at Civic Media, Anya Esther, is joining us. And you can always check in, too, if you like, at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Anya was at the really big March for Israel yesterday in Washington, D.C. Anya, you had a really late night. You got back after midnight at O'Hare, right?
That's right. Well, not O'Hare, but General Mitchell. We touched down late last night. We left from General Mitchell yesterday at 5 a.m., landed in Maryland, got on a bus, bussed our way into D.C. D.C. was incredible, and then back out all the way back to Milwaukee just before midnight. And then I thought I'd text you and say, you know what, Jane, I might sleep in. I might not see you in studio. Let me get that link. So that was my evening. Yeah.
What a day. My goodness. First of all, Anya, who did you travel with?
So I had the fantastic opportunity to travel with our local Jewish Federation, which is to say a group of Jewish people who got together and said, look, it is important that our community shows up for this. If you want to go, here is a subsidized rate for young professionals, essentially. So I traveled with 120 Milwaukee mostly, but also from all over Wisconsin, professionals aging from, I think, the youngest traveler with us was 9, and some of the folks with us were of an age where it would have been disrespectful to ask. So we had a wide variety of folks, and we also had folks, I should say, folks like me who are Reform Jews, which is to say, you know, practice is very relaxed, practice is very chill. We also had folks who had to delay boarding, not in a bad way, they just chose to get on after folks because it was time for morning prayer and that was uninterruptible. One of the guys I had the opportunity to interview said he'd never seen so many black hats and tattoos in one room before boarding with all of us. So that's who I traveled with. And then getting to DC, who I was with was incredibly 290,000 estimated attendees from all over America. People were talking about folks from the UK being there, other countries. It is insane.
Yeah. Some of the photos that I saw from yesterday, as you said, almost 300,000 people, and it was peaceful. There was no violence, at least not as of today. I haven't seen that there have been any reports of violence or anything. So that's good news. What, other than showing support for Israel, what was the message behind this march, Anya?
Right. The message behind this was that in the wake of the events since October 7th, the wake of the attack in Israel, anti-Semitism everywhere has spiked just to unprecedented numbers. The phrase that was used to discuss October 7th has been, you know, this was the deadliest day. And every day since, we have seen levels of anti-Semitism events occurring, like the burning of a synagogue in Tunisia, the death of a Jewish protester in LA, in California. While these things are related to Israel, they are far more about the rampant anti-Semitism, the ways in which, unfortunately, a lot of people are using this opportunity or this occurrence as an opportunity to commit anti-Semitism. That was the message of this march. In addition to that, talking about still the 240 people who are being held hostage. There were mothers of hostages in attendance who spoke, including the mother of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who is a young man, a leftist who was taken hostage. We know that he lost his arm that day, and we don't know that he has received medical assistance since being taken into Gaza. So all of these things were the topic, in addition to the topic of love for our community and growing that love in a time when there is growing hate, and saying we will always love each other and ourselves more than anyone can hate us for it. And it was like a breath of fresh air to be among so many people who were so diverse, so different. Yes, if we sat down and had long, long discussions, we would argue, but that's because we're Jewish. You know, that's family. That's what happens. But it was about, it's a time in all of this war, in all of this ugly violence, it is a time for love, and it is a time for taking care of each other. So, yeah.
And I assume it was people of all faiths that were in, not just people of the Jewish faith, but people of all faiths.
That's right. Some of the speakers were Christian activists, Muslim activists. As well, I know that the attendees came from a wide variety of backgrounds, not just the diversity of Jewish backgrounds, but the diversity of Christian backgrounds, Muslim backgrounds, a ton of atheists, I'm sure a ton of Buddhists and Baha'i folks. It was truly, truly an incredible display.
If you're just joining us, Anastasia Esther is our guest. She's our colleague here at Civic Media, producer for numerous programs, including the wonderful Maggie Dawn Show, which you can hear Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Anya was in Washington, D.C. yesterday among hundreds of thousands of people marching for Israel. We talked a little bit off the air, Anya, with this horrible situation between Israel and Hamas, and how sometimes, because you are Jewish and you are open about practicing your faith, people come to you and expect you to be able to answer on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And can't you just, you know, call Bibi Netanyahu for me and figure, you know, can't we?
Yeah, I got him on speed dial.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But people do make that assumption that your opinion is going to be representative of all opinions. And that's just not the case.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. And it was that was a lot of the discussion yesterday, was how so many of us, the wide diversity of world Jewry, each of us had experiences of meeting someone who said that they'd never met a Jewish person. And now it was time for that individual, that one person, to answer the questions and do the education and be the voice. And here's a crowd of, like you said, not all of them are Jewish, but I, from what I've read, at least, or an estimated 100,000 of those were college students.
Wow.
In attendance.
Wow.
So college students who are going to college in places across America, across the world, meeting someone who goes, "You are the first Jewish person I've ever met. Now it's time for you to explain."
Yeah.
And part of the fervor of yesterday was all of us going, "Oh, thank goodness there. I don't have to explain myself to anyone here. I know why you're mourning. I know why you're having a hard time. Let us just continue on with this day together and not have to think about all the explanations we've had to give in the previous days."
Well, and much like Christianity, there are different
yes.
sects of Judaism, right?
Yes.
You know, Christianity has
absolutely
evangelicals and Lutherans and Catholics and Unitarians, and Judaism also has its different breakdowns.
That's right. Yes. And to talk about that a little bit, we did see kind of one of the stronger, one of the quite more obvious delineations in that difference in practices. You know, we had folks there who were ultra Orthodox, like I said, folks whose morning prayer, they were like, "We will board in just one moment. We just have to finish this up." But there were also members of a group that I've discussed before named Neturi Karta, who are extreme ultra-Orthodox. They're part of a group known as the Satmers, which is like you have ultra-Orthodox, and then within that, a tiny group called Satmers, and an even tinier group that is this Neturi Karta. For most people, you'd be familiar with Satmers. That's the group that is shown in the Netflix show Unorthodox,
where
you have the young woman shaving her head before her wedding, and now everyone's like, "Anya, when you get married, will you shave your head?" And it's like, no, please, no.
Only if I
totally
want to.
Thing. Only if I think it looks good with the dress.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But within that extremist group that some of America is familiar with from that show is a group named Naturi Karta, who was present not within the march, but outside. And that's really the only group that showed up and tried to be like, hey, this isn't right. And they had signs that said, like, authentic rabbis wouldn't support this. And then there's a couple hundred thousand, not a hundred thousand, but a couple thousand rabbis on the other side going, well, we support a wide variety of different things, friend, including each other. Yeah. So
I am baffled by that.
We all are. And I'll say this. Orthodox rabbis especially are very well spoken. And when you ask them something, they'll often pause to make sure that they have a good long answer that often has many more questions within it. When an Orthodox rabbi two rows behind me was asked about this group later, one of the people who was with us had no idea who they were. All I heard from the guy was, no, they're a whack job. So...
That's
a very quick, I mean, coming from people who otherwise would give you about a 15-minute spiel on it. There you go.
It makes
We're
sense.
All baffled.
When you change the scenario, if you have people marching for, you know, peace and freedom and justice, you could have Christians standing outside and like, this is not America. You are not America. We are the ones who are America because we believe in X, Y, and Z. And we are also whack jobs.
Whack jobs, yeah.
If you have a question or a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Again, keeping in mind that Anya is not here to speak on behalf of the government of Israel or Bibi Netanyahu or any of that. She was an attendee yesterday at a huge, huge, almost 300,000 people march for Israel yesterday in D.C. Can you stay with us through the break?
Of course. Yes, I'd love to.
Wonderful. Because I do want to talk. You had mentioned that among the speakers that you heard yesterday were some Muslims. And I would love to hear what message they had to share during all of this conflict and all of this death and all of this mess. It's just a mess. All right. We will be right back. I hope you will stay with us. 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC on a Thursday.
DC, tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
One, two, three, four. Everybody talks about
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Anya Esther, our colleague and fellow producer here at Civic Media, is joining us. And if you would like to watch on the stream, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can always check in, leave a call or a text at 844-967-2789. Anya yesterday attended the March for Israel that was in Washington, nearly 300,000 people. And again, as of this morning, I haven't seen any reports of any violence or any incidents or anything like that. So that's always wonderful when you get a group together of that size. Anya, you had mentioned that among the speakers yesterday were some followers of the Muslim faith. Can you share some of what their messages were?
Yeah, so one of the phenomenal speakers, and I should say everyone who spoke was so moving and so great, but one of those speakers was Anila Ali. She's an American-Pakistani activist and American politician, and her speech was a call for folks who are Muslim to examine if what they are participating in is freedom for Palestinians or if it is anti-Semitism. And a lot of her speech examined this idea, and it's something that I've spoken about in on the Maggie Dawn show as well, this idea that there are many sides to this. A lot of people want there to just be two, but there are many sides to this. And there are people who are members of the Muslim faith who are choosing to engage in things that they believe to be anti-Zionism, engaging in things that they believe to be against the Israeli government as a way of protesting in favor of the Palestinian folks. But a lot of it, unfortunately, becomes anti-Semitism. For example, the burning of the synagogue in Tunisia, the folks who did that are claiming that they did it because, you know, this is what Islam would want and this is that and this is against Israel, when really, of course, it is just anti-Semitism. So she had a great quote from the Quran in her speech where she said, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to righteousness. And that's Quran 5:8. So her speech was very moving and a very empowering call for something similar to what I've been discussing, which is folks who claim to be pro-Israel when really they are just Islamophobic. And they see this as an opportunity to engage in hatred against Muslim folks. This is, as I said earlier, how this march was also about confronting the anti-Semitism people have engaged in. She was also calling out rightfully and loudly the continued Islamophobia and the anti-Semitism happening in this. So that was very moving and very powerful.
That was something I wanted to bring up, and I was trying to find just the most correct, respectful words for it, because what I see is are a lot of politicians who raise their fist in pro-Israel while not doing enough to delineate the difference between Hamas and men, women, and children in Palestine who just want to live.
Yeah.
And did you see that sort of support there as far as people saying, you know, for lack of a better term, we are all one, we are all love, we are all one people, you know? I mean, it's such a hard needle to thread.
Yes, it is. It is. And I will say outright, many, many, many of the speeches, and I'll be, you know, I was running around with my camera, so I didn't listen intently to every single one. But many of the speeches, not just implied, but outright said, the Palestinian people deserve and need freedom. There are Palestinian people who are dying and suffering because of things that have nothing to do with them. That is wrong, period. So a lot of the speakers, several of the politicians, and the vast majority of attendees who I spoke to, that was their feeling. And tonight on the Maggie Dawn show, I'll have some more interviews that I conducted with folks in the airport on the way home. And many of them said the exact same thing. This has to be an equal response where we are helping, saving, rescuing the lives of the Palestinians who are in Gaza, who have been suffering for so long, in addition to everything else that is happening, in addition to the hostages being held by Hamas, in addition to all of this. We have to be vocal and we have to be present for the Palestinian people. I think the not caveat isn't the word, but the feeling that came with that was so many Jewish people feel that they have heard their friends speak on that side and not for the anti-Semitism that they've mm-hmm. experienced. And that is a feeling mm-hmm. that's not inherently a fact. But many of the people I spoke with more so wanted to express, we are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are hurt that we are not hearing people be in favor for peace for Jews as well. Yeah. And that was a lot of what we wanted to cover yesterday was, we must, because it is our community, be vocal for ourselves. If not us, who will? Mm-hmm. And in addition, all people should be safe. All people should be free. And specifically stated, the Palestinian people as well. So, yeah, I hope that kind of answers that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
And as you said too, Anya, this is such a complicated quagmire that goes back decades and decades and decades. And the assumption that, you know, and that's why I think Greg and I have kind of avoided this subject, because it is so complicated and there's so mm-hmm. much nuance to it. And I don't want to step out and say, well, this is what I think they should do, because I don't know enough about the history of these conflicts and all of the different angles and nuances and players that have been involved in this again for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, for me, I want the Palestinians to have peace and a home. I want Israelis to have peace and a home. I want the politicians who are using this as ammunition to be voted out, kicked out, whatever. Yes. And those who are combating innocent people to be brought to justice. And you only need to say that once, because after that, it's right. It's the nuance of it all. It's like, I don't know the foreign policy. I'm not going to get into it. And I feel like once you do that, people start screaming at you because you're not on their side. I'm like, well, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's the feeling. And I will go into more of the nuance and things like this evening on Maggie Dawn's show, because I am solo hosting for her as she's dealing with Lord knows what, some lawyerly stuff beyond my pay grade.
So you're going to host tonight?
I am, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to talk more about my experiences. I'm going to play some clips from some fantastic interviews I recorded. But Jane, I think your statement is right. There's a lot of people who don't know the players, who don't know the history, who are getting very vocal and saying what they think should happen. Yeah. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to come here. I'm not an expert on it either. I'm just one person who was there. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to folks and folks who want to hear more. Maggie Dawn tonight, 6 to 7. And
Anya Esther, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so very much. I'm glad you had a safe journey. And as she said, to make sure you join her tonight at 6 o'clock as she steps into the big chair for Maggie Dawn from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Stay with us when we come back. The Holiday Folk Fair is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park. We're going to talk about that. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 35. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
To As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and also joining us in studio. Delighted to have him here, the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, Paul Trevian. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So nice to have you here. We're going to talk all things Holiday Folk Fair, which is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Allis. I love this event. It's been around for a very, very, very long time. What has changed? What's going to be new this year, Paul?
Well, the big news is it's 80 years of Holiday Folk Fair.
It's 80 years this year.
80 years.
Wow.
And International Institute of Wisconsin that hosts it has been around for 100 years.
That's great.
So this is absolutely wonderful to have the 80th year. And the theme for this year is celebrating the culture of traditional dress, which is real near and dear to my heart. So I'm real excited about that. That's a new thing that happens every year. We're also trying to make sure that we keep things familiar. You know, the footprint.
People have their favorite things, yeah. Right? You don't want to go start messing with things, and they're going to get very upset.
But at the same time, you know, as we go on in years, we'll get inclusive and take note of like, what are some possible things, you know, so we'll take a look at that. But this year we're going to be very much the same. And I'm really looking forward to the traditional dress this year.
I highly encourage you to jump on the stream if you can, so you can check out what Paul is wearing. And he's going to explain it to us a little bit. But you can watch us on the live stream on Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube. So tell me, first of all, Paul, a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, I'll talk about the connection to IIW, International Institute of Wisconsin. I've been a board member for 10 years. And I stepped in as interim when we had a leadership transition, and then I threw my hat in and competed and became president in June. So I've been at the helm now for a little while, but I've been around with the Institute for quite a bit of time. And Holiday Folk Fair has always had a special place in my heart because it's a place where we can actually celebrate and do what I have, my personal mission, which is my mother always told me that we're supposed to let everybody know we're here. I'm a Tlingit Indian from Native Alaskan from Alaska, Southeast Alaska around Juneau.
Okay.
And the regalia that I'm wearing right now is all about remembering in our culture. And so if you look at the headdress, there's like a fish, a stylized fish. That's actually represents an ancient shark symbol, shark clan. And then if you look at the back of my vest, which you can't see it right now, you'll see eagle. And that's for Eagle House. And so the eagle in the front here on the bib also is more of a symbolized, especially symbolized emblem for the tribe as well. So Shark Clan, Eagle House. And then my name is Long Seafaring Bird, and that's pronounced Ch'tekik-tek. And so when you actually put that together, you mentioned your mother's name, and my mother's name is Little Eagle, Dotkutiz. So the greeting is Ch'tekik-tek Cha'ak Wushkitan Dotkutiz Ayahat, which means I am Long Seafaring Bird, Eagle House, Shark Clan, my mother is Dotkutiz. Now, when you say that in the culture, now they know exactly where I came from.
Okay.
And they know all about me because it's a matrilineal society. So I'm charged by my grandmother and my mother to let everybody know that we're still here. So that's the reason why you see the regalia. Now, another thing that's really special about this is that you noticed it. You actually asked about it. That actually honors, and that honors my mother. So thank you very much. That gives me to the biggest word in Tlingit, which is thank you, and it's gunachish, gunachish. So gunachish for honoring my mother. So.
You are most welcome. I'm just a nosy person, Paul.
Take the compliment. Well,
but I think sometimes people are hesitant to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to offend anyone. You don't want... Do you want me to notice that, or should I not notice that? Or should I make a big deal out of it, or should I not make a big deal out of it? And it's really beautiful, and I can't imagine the hours it takes to do the beadwork on something like that.
Oh, yes. My mother made all of it.
She did.
And it's a lot of love in here. And she was remembering her grandmother and her mom and when she was putting it together. And so a lot goes into it. Now, that's a great segue into, like, why do we do Holiday Folk Fair? The mission of the Institute is to promote education and understanding. Holiday Folk Fair is an extension of that, that we are bringing people together to educate them and allow people to celebrate heritage and culture and have a venue where you can feel comfortable to ask the questions because people are in their booths celebrating their culture, their heritage, the traditional dress. They'll even talk language like I do. And then... Of course, there's the dancing on the main stage. And, of course, you got to burn some calories, so you got to have food. And the food is absolutely wonderful there.
Paul Trebian is our guest. We're talking about this weekend's Holiday Folk Fair that's happening at the Wisconsin State Fair Park Expo in West Allis. He is the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which runs the folk fair. Speaking of the food, and we've talked about this very often on this show.
We talk about food a lot.
We do. But just the importance of having a meal or sharing food with people who are different than you is one of the best ways to open doors. We all eat. We all, you know, we can all appreciate yummy things from each other's cultures. And I think that literally sets the table for different relationships.
Oh, yes. And that's one of the beauties of Holiday Folk Fair. It allows us to have the venue for us to discover the similarities in our food and the differences. And so celebrating the differences, like, wow, I didn't know that would taste like that, or I have to have more of that. Next year, I'm going to come back for that. And they seek it out. And then sometimes there's stories behind the food, the way it's prepared. And then, of course, just the pure enjoyment of it. I mean, when I would talk to people about Holiday Folk Fair, the first thing they talk about is like, oh, I remember going there as a kid, you know, through the school. We have an education day on Friday. And, I was there. I got naturalized. So we have a naturalization service, you know, on Friday.
How wonderful. Yeah. That must be so emotional.
It is. It really is. And this year we have 319 people are going to be naturalized at 2 o'clock on Friday. So this is a time for a celebration. It really is. And it's an accomplishment. It's the end of getting that naturalization done, but it starts another journey now because, you know, you have another aspect to your life, another characteristic, another aspect that you can act upon. So that's why it's so special, and it's so neat to have that. So it's at 2 o'clock on Friday, but...
And members of the public are invited to attend or no?
Yes, it is. It's limited seating.
Okay.
So it's primarily for the folks that are getting naturalized and they have
and
their families. And so there's limited seating, but we do have dignitaries to come and observe and whatnot. So, but it's really neat to come there for the opening ceremony on Friday and then come every day, look at the dance groups. Feel free to ask the questions. I think that's what you brought up a good point, which is sometimes you do feel uncomfortable. Am I going to offend anybody? Well, this is a place to say, I love this. I wonder what this is about.
Tell me about it.
What do you call it? Like for me, the technical or the language term of the regalia is at'u, which is our art, which is what we use to communicate the history. If you remember, recall in some of your social studies as a kid, a lot of the native tribes didn't have written language. It was all oral.
Passed down to generations.
And so that's what we did. We told stories with our regalia. And so it's very, very important, the identity. And I think that as we discover other people's identity and their culture and heritage, we start discovering like, hey, I have that too. And if your grandma is still around, you can ask your grandma now intelligent questions, you know. So that's wonderful.
You know, that's something I've thought about a lot in the past couple of years is that, you know, when you, as you know, I come from immigrants down the line. My family comes from Poland and Germany, but at some point we lost our culture. We lost, and not to get too serious, but it's like the promise of being American was more important or easier than really holding on to the aspects of our culture, whether it be food, dance, language. My grandmother spoke fluent German, but because of the war, she couldn't. And I just think of if we looked into our culture and studied just even the basic things, just like the food, the dance, the music, and appreciated that, it allows us to appreciate others who are seeking to protect theirs. Mm-hmm. It allows us to show empathy and allows us to show kindness and family to them to say, like, yeah, all of our cultures are important and we need to know them and understand them. And you have every right to know yours and understand yours. And it's important you do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love your account of that because there are so many times where we get caught up in the modern age and it's important to look back, but instead of looking back and dwelling on the past, it's more about like, what can I discover of the past that is helpful and meaningful for today?
Sure.
And like you were talking about the values. And what makes us who we are. And we take, when we discover somebody else and fellowship with them, become friends with them, you've probably noticed that we actually start becoming like our friends a little bit. Yeah. And so we can adapt things and use that as a link, create linkage between groups. And I think that if we actually use that to find the commonality and celebrate those common things, but then take a look at our differences in the light of like, hey, let's celebrate our differences. Oh, maybe we could use our differences to solve problems together. And so we can use our culture to actually foster peace and understanding. So it begins with something really simple. Let's go to Holiday Folk Fair. Let's celebrate together.
I honestly, like you mentioned it before, the kids thing, like I went there I think it was 3 years in a row with my grade in middle school. And, you know, it was, I mean, I remember having fun running around, seeing the colors and the people and the food and the smells and everything. And now it's like, I'm an adult. I'm like, I want to go back. I want to see it and really take it in. So,
Paul, do you have, and I know this is like asking you to pick a favorite child, but what are some of your favorite foods that you've had at the Holiday Folk Fair over the years?
Oh man, I can't list them specifically because there's so many favorites, but I would have to actually say a category. The category is desserts. I always seek out the desserts. And part of the reason too is that in the past I would participate as one of the performers and dance. Well, I mean, when I'm dancing, I burn off sugar, so I go get some more.
Absolutely.
You know? It's just absolutely wonderful, wonderful time. Sitting back and look at the main stage, and then also they'll play like past performances in between, you know, that type of thing. And this year we're putting together a display of traditional dress as well. So we're working on that. So that's a little bit different, but. Getting back to the main theme, we did this in an inclusive manner, and people got excited when we were looking at the theme. And when it came up, traditional dress, I got so excited because you've heard a little bit now of like, it's part of my own purpose is to remind people that we're still here. But what I found is that as I look at all the other cultures there, like the European cultures, they have a lot of embroidery, and it has a lot of meaning, family meaning.
Sure.
And I remember seeing children in a friendship circle where they put their hands together, and then you see all their embroidered sleeves, and it's just absolutely wonderful when you see that.
Well, we are just about out of time. It's this weekend, the Holiday Folk Fair Expo Center in West Dallas. What are the hours, Paul?
It starts at 10 o'clock most days, but 9 o'clock for Friday for the education day. And so come.
We'll get all the links in the show notes afterwards. It was delightful to meet you. Your costume is really beautiful, and we will love to talk to you more. Make sure you go to the Holiday Folk Fair this weekend. Again, we'll get it all posted in our show notes. Paul Trebian has been our guest. He is the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little baseball with Mike Clemens from Civic Media.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Buck with me in studio. Calvin is running the board, and you can always chime in. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Or you can join us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I did want to just share this one message from Linda Akola Atkins. We just had Paul Trebian on from the Holiday Folk Fair, which is this weekend in West Dallas. And she just said, great interview. Thank you. My culture is Swiss German, and nothing got passed down except for the recipes.
Hey, that's a start.
It is a start.
That's a great start.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on. Mike Clemens is our sports reporter at Civic Media, and there was some more baseball news this morning, Mike, right?
Yeah, but man, the folk fair is the best, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
My kids every year, oh man, you know, it's great. Just sample foods from all over the world and then watch all of, you know, the dancers and the costumes and the customs from all around the world. It's a great escape.
Do you have a particular food that you can remember really enjoying, Mike?
Yeah, I go to the Middle Eastern countries often, you know. Yeah. You know, things wrapped in grape leaves and that kind of thing. It's different, unique, and got pretty good taste to it. I don't think I've actually had a bad piece of food there. You know, you wander over into Germany, and that takes care of some of the desserts, you know. I can go on and on.
Yeah, that German food also just puts you to sleep.
Well, it's rarely light and fluffy, the German food, because I'm from a German background, too, so... It tends to be a little bit heavier, but yummy nonetheless. All right, let's talk about Pat Murphy and the Brewers.
Okay, so Craig Counsell just drops a bombshell by saying, okay, I'm leaving the Brewers. And it wasn't for the Mets, it was for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so Mark Antanasio, I got on the teleconference that he had with just a few reporters. And, I mean, he was asked... So the first question from one of the lead beat reporters from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So mark your reaction after getting that phone call from Craig today. He said, well, you know, we employ 400 employees at American Family Field. We donate millions of dollars to, and he starts listing off these causes. It's like, he's reading this off a prep sheet, you know? It's like, dude, you just lost Craig Counsell to the Cubs. And so three or four questions later, we followed up and you could tell he was shocked, shell-shocked, that Craig was in fact leaving, but also just going to a division rival. It's kind of exposed where the Brewers are a little bit. So I think he's trying to, you know, batten down the hatches and hang on. And so he hires the bench coach that Craig Counsell brought to Milwaukee, Pat Murphy. And Pat is going to be 65 later this month. It's a three-year deal. Which that'll take him up to 68. It could be a great send-off as a retirement from his baseball career. They're also bringing in Ricky Weeks, the former infielder. He's now 41. I'd seen Ricky hanging around the facility like the last two seasons or so.
Oh, really?
And he's been like an assistant for player development. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the thing where, you know, you bring up a kid from the minors, so you get him an apartment, you show him the major league way, you know, the routine, that kind of thing. He's been named the associate manager. So there's a press conference tomorrow, and that'll be one of the first questions we'll have. It's like, so what exactly does that mean? You still want to be a development guy, or is this a training ground to be a manager someday? Who they're keeping all the staff. So I think probably the way Mark operates and Matt Arnold, the new general manager the last year or two, is they're saying to that whole staff, hey, stay here in Milwaukee. You know these players. Whoever wants to compete for this job, you know, when Pat retires, it's all yours. I think that's the dynamic the Brewers are going with right now.
I mean, is that a smart – I mean, I guess if he's got a three-year deal and he lasts all 3 years – isn't it make more sense then after that to maybe like look outside the organization for fresh eyes then? Because, you know, having come up under Craig Counsell is great because he knows the way Craig thinks. He can manage in a style that's the same but also bring his own style. But then he just kind of, at one point, want to pump some new blood into it.
From the outside, you're right. I think it looks stale.
Yeah.
From the inside, it's a panic move.
Gotcha.
And also, what they've already hired four or five other managers. I mean, the top of the board is already gone. That's what's amazing about all this. And so, right, and they, and you know that they're going to be losing players. Probably Corbin Burnes.
Oh yeah.
You know, Brandon Woodruff had the surgery on the shoulder. He's out all next year. So they're going to be, you know, scrambling for that lineup. And I'm, as I say, I think the best thing Mark can do is and pitch to the fans is, look, we got to the playoffs. We don't want to change that group that got us to the playoffs, you know, minus Craig Counsell. So we're trying to do the best we can to keep what we got going until we figure out what's next.
I can say, though, as a fan, my thing is, that's great, but I want to see my team go beyond the first round. Like we were talking about this earlier, and I said, you know, I think it's a good thing. I do think it's a good thing for the for 1 year because, you know, it's he left, he's gone, so we gotta get someone in there and plan for a future that has a real rebuild now, because now we're going right back into a rebuild, and that's the terrible thing, because I don't want us to suck, but it seems like we're not going to be as great.
There will be some growing
pains. There'll be adjustments.
There will be adjustments, absolutely. And real quickly, Mike, so the stadium deal is pretty much done. What do you think?
You know, I haven't covered much of that, and those guys around the clubhouse did not talk about it as much. I'm kind of surprised by some of the people in Madison that were actually championing that cause, but it's one last thing for that franchise to worry about. But I'll tell you, Jane, maybe I'll come back sometime a little later, because that whole backstory, you know, Council said the other day he'd been thinking about this for the last 2 years.
Really?
2 years.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Cubs were the first to call him, and he's like, I get the money I want. I get a chance with a franchise that has far more resources than what the Brewers have shown in 20 years. And if I can win a World Series in Chicago, I might get into the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I thought with the Mets, too. I figured the Mets, he could work with David Stearns again, and he could also have more money and exposure. But, yep, yeah.
Well, as it turns out, he never really considered the Mets.
Gotcha.
Well, all right, Mike, we got to go. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We will talk again soon, my friend. Stay close for the noon news, followed by the wonderful Todd Allbaugh Show. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, all of you, for listening and calling and texting. Very much appreciated. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately?
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down.
WFHR, Wisconsin crashing. Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.